Hello, Classical Classroom listeners. It's your host, Daisha. The episode that you're about to hear is the terrible white elephant Christmas gift that we made for you. Just for you. We hope that you enjoy it. We're lovingly calling it Jingle Hell. And I won't say any more than that. If you'd like to get us a Christmas gift, remember to go to iTunes and subscribe to us and rate us and review us. You guys are awesome. Okay, that's it for me. Here's the episode. My name is Daisha Clay. I'm the audio librarian here at Classical 91.7. While I'm a real librarian, I have a deep, dark
secret.
I know very little about classical music. I grew up listening to rock, and I know something about jazz. But when it comes to classical, but I really want to learn. So, every week on this show, a classical music expert will give me a piece of classical music they think I should know, and then we'll discuss it. Come learn with me in the Classical Classroom. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Classical Classroom. I'm Daisha Clay, and here with me today in the studio is Alicia Lawyer. Alicia is the founder, artistic director, and principal oboist of the River Oaks Chamber Orchestra, or ROCO, as we lovingly call it in Houston. You can often hear ROCO play on Performance Today, along with being listed as one of Houston's top 50 most influential women and having been nominated, along with Willie Nelson, for Texas Musician of the Year. She was voted by Musical America, just recently, as one of the 30 professionals of the year. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I love that I called you a professional, your phone went off.
I know. It's like every time. Yeah. Every time an angel gets her wings. So.
Yeah, that's right. I think more important than any of these things is that you are a huge Star Wars geek.
How'd you know that?
Yeah.
Sorry. Ringtone, too. You could
not apologize. You're safe with me. Yeah. So today, you know, we've talked about a lot of holiday music on the show, and all of it has been really lovely. And listeners, if that is the kind of holiday episode you're looking for, turn back now, because today is about the ugly Christmas sweaters of classical music. Welcome to Jingle Hell.
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh. Alicia, thanks for coming in today to talk to me about this. I don't even know what to call this, but I feel like it needs to be done.
It's a gripe session.
Yeah, exactly. So let's get right to
it. All right.
Where should we start with terrible Christmas music?
I don't know. I mean, there's really great stuff out there, but there's so many little details that bug you because you hear them over and 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 over again.
Yes. But yeah, that repetitiveness, I think, of not only hearing the same songs over and over again, but I think hearing that within the music can make a bad song. Well, what's the first piece of terrible music that we should hear? I want to hear something and then talk about why it's terrible.
Oh. Well, I mean, nothing that bad. You are singing about the birth of Christ.
Right.
You know, we have to have a little perspective here. But I think something that changes throughout the years and the centuries is the Greensleeves piece, because it's a glorious song, and it's been handed down generation to generation. It's an old folk song. And it's been played in different what's called modes. And a mode is like a scale. So if you go to the piano and look at all the white keys, you play from one white key to the other white key. If you're on a C, that's major scale.
Yeah.
If you move up one note, D to D, it's called Dorian. Mm-hmm. So all the different white to white keys are named different modes. And this one just has a variety of them. And then there's this particular note in here that if you play it one way, half the people feel like you're scratching your nails on the chalkboard. And if you play it the other way, the other half think it's that way. And so it's... what child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap? There's a sharp there,
yeah.
But in other versions, it's Mary's lap is. It's not sharp. And
yeah.
So some people get annoyed by one or the other. You can't really please them all. So I think we go to microtones and play an F half sharp. or something. So just to please everybody, because that's what we're all about now.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay. Okay. I see. So it's like
It's just a contentious note.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's been handed down, I think, you know, orally through the generations, so everything changes.
Because this is from, like, medieval times.
Yeah, just back in the early days. Long ago. When the earth was green. Yes. There's a theme here.
Nice. Okay.
I always call this, what third is this, instead of what child is this? But it's this song that has many different variations to it.
Yeah, let's hear a little bit of it.
It's just a beautiful, beautiful song, but it's morphed through the years in many different varieties.
Yes,
and, and it just, some people are almost as passionate about that as politics, as which note that's supposed to be. So it's pretty funny. We were not going there. But,
all right.
And one of the other things that's so funny is there's only one piece in the whole repertoire that I can find that actually mentions Satan.
Oh, okay. That's what you want to sing about at Christmas?
I mean, totally.
Yeah. Right. So you're singing along. You're in your little Christmas sweater. And all of a sudden, there is Satan.
Could it be? Satan?
You know, could say Santa.
That's true.
Closely related.
It's true.
Instead, yeah. I never really thought about that. But it is always sort of jarring when you're singing along to that.
I do think you do ignore the words when you start to sing all these pieces you've known for so long. And like the ones in rock and roll where you don't even know what you're singing, but you've sung them your whole life.
Yeah. The excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Exactly. So. But Electric Boobs really is on there. So it's just kind of weird.
All right, where do we go from here in terribleness?
Well, this isn't terrible, but I think it's an observation that's kind of funny. It's there's two songs, the first Noel and Joy to the World. They're based on scales, you know. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. It's on an entire scale, and just I don't know if that's just lazy or, you know, just that's compositionally,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, talk a little bit about that. Like, what when you're composing a piece of music, I understand that you maybe want to stay away from including too much, and that's what it sounds like you're saying here, is that these pieces just have, they're just like, put all of the notes in.
All of the notes. It's a glorious tune. I truly think so, but I just think it was really interesting. And the first Noel as well. There was a professor of mine at Juilliard that was collecting all the songs that had ever had an entire scale in them, and I just thought that was kind of interesting to notice that one.
Get it, girl.
I know. She should have said Satan like that.
That's right. Every time I hear this song now, I think of The Family Stone, that movie. Have you seen it?
No, but I know what you're talking about.
It's an integral part of the movie. Anyway. I have
to see Elf every year. So.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, we all have our Christmas movies that we have to see, which are kind of the same as these songs, actually, because it's like, after a while, you don't even know what it is that you're watching.
Right.
It just engenders a certain feeling, and it's that time of year, and you have to have these particular songs and these particular movies and smells to make that happen, you know?
Like Love Actually.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Every year, at least twice. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have to also mention that the horrific thing that George Lucas tried to suppress, which was the Christmas special, the Star Wars Christmas special.
Which is one of the worst.
Worst things ever created.
But, like, amazingly terrible. Like, it's so bad that you can't look away. Like,
you can't unsee it. That's for sure.
It's a Wookiee family.
I know. That was one of the songs on the list that's, like, the worst one ever. Like, what do you get a Wookiee for Christmas besides a comb? It's a song.
Oh, here we go. Let me
see. No, please. It's droid singing. Right. Yes. And perfume for the princess. Yes. Wow, I'm so long.
we get him here?
Here it goes.
The what?
Here it goes.
We gave him a comb.
We gave him a comb last year.
What can you get? A wooden for Christmas.
Oh my god.
It's like Nathan Lane or something.
This may be the worst piece of music I've ever heard. And that's saying something. You know, and it's important that we talk about this, considering that The Force Awakens is about to come out, which is also, in my mind, a holiday. Sorry. Part of the holiday season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I already have my tickets. It's good.
So, in all seriousness.
Yes, we're very serious.
I'm very serious. What makes that so bad? I mean, I think there are some obvious things.
Yes.
The singing, for one.
Droids were not made to sing.
No. They were very helpful.
They didn't ask C-3PO. I don't know. Okay.
But like, what? It's like the sound is very hokey.
That's a good word.
And the lyrics are awful. But. So what else is there to a song? I don't know. Like technically speaking, what is it that makes that so bad?
Yeah. But it's just cheesy.
Yeah, cheesy.
Super cheesy. Like worse than just cheesy. Like when you're trying to come up with an SNL skit at your house and then you just really fail. That's what that's like.
Right. And you're like, and then you do it anyway.
Yeah, completely.
That's what that was.
That was pretty bad. Anyway, sure. My favorite song ever. You're gonna have a treat.
Vader, did you know?
No.
Didn't die with Padme. Did you know that your infant son will fly in X-Wing someday? Did you know that the droid you built will soon belong to him?
Wow.
He'll be a moisture farmer.
He'll be a moisture farmer on the Outer Rim. Okay, all right.
Okay.
No, but seriously, it's the best song ever created.
That is amazing. I kind of love that one.
Okay, so that leads into my next thing. Okay. Songs that bug me. All right.
Right.
So, Mary Did You Know is a gorgeous song, and Pentatonix just rocked it out of the park. The best a cappella vocal group ever.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation?
This is perfectly lovely, but like, so what makes it? Why does it bug you?
Because she did know. she really, really did. Luke 1:25 through 36 through 35. Come on. She actually did know it was going to be the Son of God. So get over it.
So like she's listening to the song going, yeah.
Yeah, hello.
I knew.
It's a gorgeous song. I wish they'd just be like, la, 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 la.
This was happening.
Vader really didn't, but hey.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, there's another one that actually I think Amy Bishop wrote about on Facebook, and I completely agree. I love Baby, It's Cold Outside. I love that song.
By the way, Amy Bishop works here at Houston Public Media for you listeners out there that don't know.
But I really think we have to say that no means no, and that's what this song seems to make me want to say all the time.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, there's a point at which it's cute at first.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, aw, that's sweet. He wants her to stay.
And you're just like, yeah, back off.
And then after a while, it's like, oh my God, he is still not getting the idea.
No means no.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really can't
but
stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold.
That does not sound like Will Ferrell.
This evening has been.
I'm hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
Hold your hands there just like I.
My mother will start.
Yeah, see, it's all nice at first. Oh, you're so cold. Let me warm you up.
Yeah. And then it gets
listen to that fireplace roll.
So really I'd better
beautiful,
scurry.
Please don't hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Oh, he's got her.
Yeah. While I pour.
The neighbors might think
maybe it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no
drink?
No caps
to be and Mickey, that's not good. That's so sad. I mean, that's illegal. Okay, yeah.
I know. I think what's a shame is that, like, the melody, I guess, of this song is so great, and it's
incredible.
Like such a But yeah, you can't help after a while going, dude. The lady said no.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense in hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out. Ah, but it's cold outside.
I happened to be doing a little bit of research about this because Sufjan Stevens does a lot of rock music, but he is a huge Christmas music fan and has written so much, like volumes of Christmas music, but some of it is better than others, and so some fan of his actually did a blog about the worst Sufjan Christmas music songs, and This is one of them called Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
I'm not in the mood, sorry. Not in the Christmas mood. Jesus is the king of ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
There's so many things wrong with this song.
It's almost as bad as the Wookiee song.
It's just like a word I'm not supposed to say, like a cluster of like, like it's like the instruments are colliding, like
yes.
They're not playing together.
Yes.
And the voices aren't together.
They've had a lot of cider.
So I'm going to say that cohesion is maybe something that's important when you're writing music, too.
A nice voice, a nice tone, a nice rhythm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I think some of this music is definitely lacking that.
Well, some of the subject matter, which is kind of what gets me. I mean, I'd never heard of this carol until we started looking stuff up, and the cherry tree carol was so odd. The words on it. So basically, Mary, it's when they're singing it, it sounds like a very traditional, you know, song you would sing. But the story is that Mary wants some cherries, and Joseph basically says, "Well, ask the father of your baby to get you some cherries." I'm not kidding. And then from the womb, Jesus is like, "Cherry tree, please bow down and give Mary some cherries." And it does. And it's kind of just—I mean, there's nowhere in the Bible is that, but it's just kind of odd.
The whole premise of this song is very strange.
It's very weird. Now listen to this.
Yeah.
Whoever got you a child, pluck the cherry.
Sounds like he's mad.
He is. Like, I know, he's like a little...
Why don't you ask your baby daddy to do
That's... Isn't that horrible?
Yeah.
And it's this glorious little beautiful song.
Sounds like Joseph's got some
issues.
Some pent up resentment.
That's nowhere in the Bible. I'm just saying right now.
Right.
That is so not good. And so it comes down. And
so the tree comes down.
And she gets cherries.
And she's like,
because God's
she's
like,
what? What? It happened.
It's just, can you believe that?
There it is.
I've never even heard of that. I'm just like, that is crazy. Who would have known that?
Mary.
And then, of course, with all the NSA and all the things happening in our government, the Santa's coming to town's a little creepy. Kind of, you know, he knows everything.
Yeah.
He's just like, I mean, I, as a child nowadays, I don't think I would be able to divorce Santa from the government in my mind, you know?
That is, yeah.
Really hard.
That's also pretty creepy. Yeah, let's hear some Santa's coming to town.
It sounds different than what we just heard.
The NSA is coming to town.
You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Oh, God. It's a children's choir.
It's the worst one.
This is
how about the ones that don't, that just have the background and you have to sing it, you know?
Yeah.
The sing-along?
Yeah.
That's the worst.
I feel like I should be playing the spoons or something.
That's enough. Please stop.
Man. Yeah. Make it stop.
It's a little bit frightening.
Yeah, that's, and also, children's choirs are frightening sometimes. No offense to child singers out there, but there's something about that particular variety of children's choir where it's sort of like sickly sweet. Because, I mean, I think kids are much more complex than that.
That's
they're
right.
Like interesting
so
little people,
yes.
You know, and like they have them doing this gosh golly thing. It's just like with their voices that are not they haven't grown into them yet. I don't know, there's something about that combination. We'll probably cut all of that so that no parents come after me for saying terrible things about children.
No, he'll reorient it to say so no parent comes and cuts you.
don't cut me. So
another disturbing song,
yeah,
is White Winter Hymnal.
Yeah, I was going to say the Fleet Foxes.
Yes, exactly.
This song has always sort of fascinated me. Like, I love it, but...
Well, and they don't have an explanation, right? I mean, Fleet Foxes don't have any explanation for what it really means, but when you first hear it, you're like, wow, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it sounds... It's a little disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like about...
That's the word I use all the time for
hunting or something.
Well, it's like kids walking and...
Uh-huh. And then somebody gets hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't stop listening to it in my car. It's awesome.
And you would fall and turn the white snow.
Yeah,
it's just it's cool. I just don't understand it,
but
I still sing it.
I know, me too. I sing along like this is the prettiest song ever, and I'm like,
and Michael died, and he really died violently, and you're like, oh,
exactly.
What? Merry Christmas! What?
Merry Christmas, Beth.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Well,
yeah.
So obviously we have to talk about the crazy ones, right?
I feel like we have to.
Yeah, I think we have to go there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
See, my grandmother actually liked and thought it was hilarious, the song of Grandma Got Run Over by Reindeer, but I know many people hate that song.
Yes.
And hate is a strong word nowadays, but dislike it intensely. And
yeah.
I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah. I think it is too, but it's also like
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
I just can't listen to that.
You can say there's no such thing as Santa.
You gotta sing it with me.
But that's for me and Grandma we believe.
Oh, yeah. I love the way that he sings that Grandma got run over by a reindeer too. He sounds like he's totally drunk. He's like, Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
With that moonshine on his back. With that moonshine. Yeah, that's enough of that. Thanks.
And we're done.
And scene.
Yeah.
And then of course the chipmunk song.
Oh man.
I can't.
Yeah.
All right, you chipmunks, ready to sing your song?
I'll say we are. Yeah. Let's sing it now.
Okay, Simon.
Okay.
Okay, Theodore?
Okay.
Okay, Alvin? Alvin. Alvin!
Okay!
Okay, stop. I don't even think we need to discuss what makes it bad.
No. But it's still there.
But I also like singing along with it in my chipmunk voice.
Oh my gosh, that's impressive.
Thank you.
Well, okay, let's continue to talk about fuzzy animals. Dominic the donkey, which is cute when I first heard it. Actually cute, but no.
Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the donkey. Jingity jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La la la.
Did he just say the Italian Christmas donkey?
I think he maybe did. So in addition to just being terrible, the song is racist.
Well, nationalistic.
Nationalistic. Yeah. Yeah. I think that I'm seeing a theme in what makes the music bad, which is the voice.
Yeah. Or the honky honk.
Hey, jingity jing. It's Dominic the donkey. Jingity jing. The Italian Christmas donkey.
Okay, Alicia, I don't know if I can take anymore. I don't know if I can take anymore.
Well, please don't play these, but like there's Santa's Coming in a Whirly Bird by Pat Boone. There's like I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. I mean, there's all these just.
You did it. You played it.
Only a hippopotamus. Yeah.
No.
See the tone? The tone of voice? Yeah, it's horrible. It's really bad.
I can't. Okay. That's what it is. You're right. It's the timbre of the voice. It's just like grating.
But even when there are gorgeous carols like Angels We Have Heard on High and you have a really great voice singing it, you can really ruin it when you are acting like you're on that old-timey, I'll show my age here, the Star Search show when everybody raised the went up a step and and then a step and then a step.
Yeah.
I think this one has about five or six like or people something that keep going up and up in higher pitch every time.
Like they're trying to be Mariah Carey.
Yeah, exactly.
But can't.
Yeah.
Don't have the technical prowess.
Well, she does it fine, but it just keeps going up.
Oh, here we go.
There it is. There's one. She's breathing. She's starting to breathe heavy.
Oh boy.
It keeps going too. So,
Alicia, I can't. I can't anymore. We have to stop. We have to.
Here it goes.
Ah! Wow. Wow.
It just keeps going.
Mary, Joseph, and Mary, with us sing our Savior.
Okay, so, it needs to stop. So my final question to you is why do we still listen to this stuff?
I don't know. I think we hold on to things. I think that older we get, the faster life goes, and you try to hold on to things that you remember that bring you into the season. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Sometimes it's just funny. Sometimes your kids do it to annoy you. But my favorite one is Good King Wenceslas, probably because people don't sing it a lot. And it's just got such a good message of hope and healing and charity and that's my favorite one. I think it's complicated. There's so many words, and it just has never taken. It's never taken off like a lot of the other ones have.
Yeah.
Which is why I think I still like it because I don't hear it very often.
Oh yeah, that's good stuff.
And he goes out and helps someone he sees. And takes care of.
He's a good king, man.
Yeah, man.
I think that you touched on something really important in what you just said, which is that while the the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Like, the parts that are making up this music, we've got terrible timbre, we've got way too much repetitiveness going on, we've got songs that just have too many notes in them.
And we have really weird words.
We've got weird ass words.
And Satan.
We've got Satan. But the thing I think that you hit upon is that it kind of doesn't matter, because there's something that we have attached emotionally to a lot of this music that makes it special anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true.
Man. I just said something deep and meaningful. It did.
I was amazed. And I almost feel bad for sharing this last one with you, which is the Chewy singing Silent Night.
You're ruining it.
I'm sorry.
I just had a moment.
I did. And I had the moment, and now it's gone. Past, and
okay.
Life's going faster.
All right. All right. Oh, yeah.
Okay, the heck? No, okay.
All right, Alicia. That's enough. We're done.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. So we will put links to our past holiday shows up on the website. And in addition to the episode of Classical Classroom that Alicia was in a long, long time ago, episode 10, where she talks about the oboe, make sure to check those out. So that does it for this episode. Thanks for sticking with us through Jingle Hell. For more Classroom, go to houstonpublicmedia.org/classroom. Follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube, SoundCloud. Rate us and review us on iTunes. Email me at dclay@houstonpublicmedia.org. Thanks today to audio producer Todd, Good King, Winsless Todd, Holslander for making us sound good. Thanks to program director Sinjin Flynn for knowing what to get a Wookiee for Christmas. Thanks to editor Mark DiClaudio for his piercing reindeer eyes. Thanks to Alicia Lawyer for being here today.
You're
thanks to
welcome.
Me for saying words. But most of all, thanks to you for listening. We'll catch you next time.